Dirt and Sprague.
Muhammad Gay, far side corner three. That's off the back rim. Brunson with the rebound. He's off to the races. Alley-oop for Bridges, and he throws it down. Mikhail Bridges with 16 points in 15 minutes. A 51-8 Nick run has put this game in a laughable state.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Chris Finch, David Adelman, exchange handshakes at midcourt. The Minnesota Timberwolves advance to play the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference semifinals, eliminating the Denver Nuggets in six games. Final score, 110-98.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
A little feel-good Friday for you.
A little feel-good. It makes you feel good that I contemplated wearing that hat today, and I decided last second to not wear that hat. Back-to-back days would have been pretty impressive by you and me.
I was feeling good. I was like, I got a good white tee here. It's a little wrinkly, but I'm going to wear it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rock the Timber hat. It's white. It looks good. And then I went, I swear on my mom if this man wears this hat today, I will let my bedhead show. I don't even
care. I'm taking it off.
I don't care.
My crinkly plain white t-shirt is in the laundry right now, though. So that was out of the equation. But white Timbers hat, I did contemplate. Did they win last weekend?
Absolutely. They beat San Diego.
Okay. Are we feeling better now?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just asking.
I know they beat San Diego.
And every time I see Patrick, it's very, very depressing about how the old Timbers are playing this year.
You know what? Let me...
You want to corroborate that information?
I was pretty sure that I checked and they won.
We've had to walk a lot of stuff back this week.
Well, we're going to have to walk back something else.
Evidently,
in a minute.
My dominatrix at JP Morgan doesn't exist.
Well...
And it just pooped all over my dreams yesterday, man.
To be fair, it's not your fault.
No,
that
it's not my fault.
A real complaint file. We'll get to that.
Yeah,
but
he filed the complaint. We had a lot of people tweeting us that one yesterday. I'm like, guys, update on that story.
Well, it didn't come out until after
Don't
the show.
Don't crap on my dreams, man. All right?
Okay,
come on.
Why is this?
Look at the tables. Where are the tables?
What is Google AI is the worst.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's showing me 2025 results.
That makes a lot of sense. Did they win last weekend? How about 2 years ago? Huh? What do you think? You want to see what a game was from May of 2023 while you're at it? Let's check those scores.
Yeah, they beat San Diego 2-1.
Let's
I was
go,
right.
Baby.
How about that?
You know what they call that?
Yeah.
Almost a winning streak.
Yeah.
If you get one more, now it's a winning streak.
We're at Real Salt Lake.
Oh, bring it on. Yeah. Salt Lake doesn't stand a chance. They're weak up the midfield.
Yeah, I do think we should probably lead the show with it hasn't been the best week for us on the internet.
Look, I'm just going off what I'm reading, okay? That's all I got. I'm doing my show research, and if I'm reading it on the internet, I just feel like it's got to be true at this point, right? Isn't that how it works out?
Yeah, so our Magic Hat stuff led us to a JP Morgan individual filing a claim against an exec that she was sexually harassing and assaulting.
Yes.
Him and felt like she was using the power dynamic, like she was tying him up, she was drugging him,
right.
She was giving him racist intoned nicknames.
This
making
guy's
fun
crying
of his wife.
The entire time. No, yeah. I don't want to do this.
Performing acts on him while he's crying.
Right.
Like we talked about it yesterday.
Pretty gruesome stuff.
And a few hours after we signed off on the show, report comes out
Bastards.
That the John Doe, who the name was released,
dude, the picture, by the way. The guy's picture fits exactly what you would think for somebody making this entire thing up.
Yeah, you're not
straight
wrong.
Out of Central Casting.
You're not wrong.
Like, that guy is the absolute kind of guy that would lie about this.
Well, they did an internal investigation at JP Morgan, and they were like, there's literally no evidence this ever happened.
He refused to even participate in the investigation.
Because he knew it was a lie.
It was all a lie.
Yeah.
How, dude, what's go? First off,
did he watch Horrible Bosses and go, oh, my God, I could use this?
I'm going to write up a file. Because
you're not going to do what the other two do. They're not going to try to kill
him. No, you can't kill him. No.
Like, Charlie Day was never going to kill Jen Aniston.
No, because deep down, he was attracted to her.
Absolutely.
She was hot.
But Colin Farrell, bald, rich douchebag son.
That guy you can try and take out.
That's a guy whose toothbrush you put up your butt and try to execute. And luckily for them, one of the other people executed him.
That was pre-canceled Kevin Spacey, too.
That was.
That was right before we got rid of old Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, that's...
And he's gone.
It's funny you said that.
R.I.P.
Well, because Swag asked me... You gonna go, you gonna watch Michael in theaters?
Oh.
And I go, probably not. It did really well. It made 200 plus million. Some people have said it's actually not good, but
his family is cashing in, baby.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
And I said, probably not. And then we started talking about him, and you know, you and I have always had a Michael Jackson back and forth off the air, and Swagger's like, yeah, some weird stuff's come out since. And I'm like, his nose literally fell off in the 90s. <You're right. laughs> He was always weird.
He had little kids sleeping over his house with milk and cookies, man.
But then we were talking about canceled people, and Swag goes, yeah, the one for me. Oh, Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey can never do it again. We're just officially out on Kevin Spacey.
Well, he's not saying he won't ever watch a Kevin Spacey movie. It was more like he couldn't believe Kevin Spacey.
Oh, went from what he was to being canceled?
Yeah.
Is that one bigger than Bill Cosby?
No, he didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say that.
He just named somebody that shocked him that was canceled.
I mean, I get it. He seemed like a genuinely nice guy.
Cosby also not canceled.
No.
He went on tour after he got out of prison.
That's true. The Michael Jackson point that I would bring up simply was that I found it ironic when some people would get canceled for activities away from the microphone, and that was one that never got canceled for the same people.
Well.
That was the only thing that, like, oh, I can't listen to Kanye anymore. And I'm like, I'm not defending what Kanye's doing.
Just say you're talking about me.
No, I'm not talking about you.
No, you are.
I mean, you fall into this silo. Okay. You are in this category, but you're not the only one that's guilty of this. I know other people that are like this as well.
Have I partaken in some of the old Kanye in the last couple? I mean, you know,
he's apologized, okay?
Oh,
he's growing.
He lost his way.
He wasn't on the right medication. Now we can listen to Family Business again.
You know, if you're not on the internet, you'll never know who's canceled, and then you'll never have to defend yourself when someone's like, really?
Right.
And you're like, what? What?
Yeah, I just reached the conclusion where we got to separate art from artists, man. I'm tired of being the one that has to pay the price here. If I like a song, why am I the one that can't listen to that song anymore? Because they turned out to be a horrible person.
Well,
that's unfair to me.
You have to. Somebody's just, you know, it's a choice.
Yeah, it's a judgy thing. It's touch and go there. When Remix to Ignition would pop up on our rejoiner music, you know there are people out there doing a double take.
Yeah,
you guys are playing that song?
I wish it was still in the rotation.
It still is. Don't worry.
Is it really?
I've uncanceled Remix.
Uncanceled?
It's the national anthem.
Well.
I wasn't peeing on people. That's not my fault.
Yeah, well.
It's a great song.
You're not wrong.
We just played Bump and Grind the other day.
Yeah. Well, that made sense with the Grinding Mox, Ben Robinson.
My body. Such a good song.
It's such a great open to a song.
It's a classic.
My body.
There was like 18 parts trapped in the closet.
Oh, man.
Him and the Isley Brothers.
Oh, man.
He just wanted to get out of that closet,
When did you not watch the next Trapped in the Closet? I think to about 7, I was like, all right.
Yeah, I get it.
You're trapped.
All right, this is an interesting concept.
She's having an affair. Yeah, I understand it.
You're sleeping with people. We get it, R. Kelly. But yeah, by the time you got to part 9, it's kind of like Game of Thrones spinoffs at this point. All right, enough's enough. I get it.
But the Isley brother was exceptional as the husband being cheated on.
Fantastic.
I would say that.
Great voice. Very upset about his wife sleeping with R. Kelly. As you should be.
Unfortunately for us, we did a whole Magic Hat portion of our show on that story.
We did, yeah.
We even told the brand man.
We did.
And lo and behold, comes out, it's just a made-up thing that somebody was trying to fabricate against an exec at a company. At least it wasn't like a completely fake story.
No.
It was an actual accusation.
It was an actual complaint that was filed.
And they investigated and found out it was not true.
I just chuckled at the idea. When you see the guy's picture who lied about it, first off, again, straight out of Central Casting. And then second, I think we now know what that guy searches. Like, if you're filing a complaint and that's the stuff that you create in your head.
Well, I'm not kidding. I think legitimately he probably watched the movie Horrible Bosses and was like, oh, my God, I could do
how
this.
Close she's tying me down.
What's your search history there, buddy?
Right. Just how close to getting fired for not doing his job or not doing his
job
well was
right.
he? He's
right.
like, I can't lose this job.
It'd be funny if she was like really kind to him too. Like,
exactly.
Hey, Peter,
you're gonna need to pull.
You're so great, but you gotta step it up just a little bit.
I need
the
TPS reports.
The TPS reports were due 2 weeks ago. You haven't given them to me. Like, it'd be funny if we found out that's how she was as a boss.
That's all that it was
and
the
he's
entire
just like,
time.
Oh, I'm gonna get you.
No, I'm not sucking on your toes. Whoa, dude, where were you creating that out of nowhere?
You made me so nervous there for about a second.
You knew where I was going.
Yeah.
I got the twitchy right hand.
You're ready to go. It has been a rough week in that regard,
It's been a week
too.
On the dump button, too.
It's been
you
a
know?
Nice little week of radio here, man. It's been fun.
The Blazers being eliminated. It just broke our brains.
It kind of did,
It's ruined
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, it kind of did. We just waved the white flag.
I would like a little bit of credit, and how about a round of applause for me? I held off on buying a sausage McMuffin and a hash brown this morning.
Nice. Good for you.
Excellent job.
Why are we holding off, though? What's wrong with a sausage McMuffin? They're delightful.
Look, they are. Dude, they're one of my favorite things in existence.
They're perfect
McDonald's is trying to resell the McValue menu again.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Have you seen it, though?
Yeah, I know.
What are we talking? What's the value price now?
$3.
$3.
Yeah. It ain't $1.50.
It ain't a buck.
It ain't a buck.
Yeah. It's a I remember the dollar value menu. Yeah,
an actual dollar menu?
The dollar menu.
There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, one of my favorite things of being a human is taking a bite of the top of the hash brown then placing the rest of the hash brown on the McMuffin.
Yeah? No. Mm.
That's a perfect sandwich.
That's so good.
There is a perfect sandwich right there.
That just makes you smile in the morning.
It was more like, I don't need to do this to myself. The map was leading me to the McDonald's, and I just was like, don't do it. And I turned the car, and the map was like redirecting me, and I had to hit stop, and I just came into work.
It's one of those Jesus take the wheel moments, huh? They wanted you to get an egg McMuffin this morning.
It wasn't easy, dude. I'm starving.
Yeah, no breakfast today?
I didn't have, I had no breakfast today.
Okay, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know.
How long until you run across the street and get a burrito?
When's the burrito coming?
Because you know that's happening.
That's a healthy burrito, though.
That is, trying to watch my figure.
Potatoes in that one, too.
That's a local burrito, so it's healthier. That's what I like to tell myself.
God, a good McDonald's breakfast hits the spot every time.
That sandwich and hash brown. When is it ever bad? Have you ever had, I'm not kidding with this, have you ever had a bad hash brown or sausage McMuffin?
I'm pretty sure one time a sausage McMuffin gave me food poisoning, and I still eat sausage McMuffins.
Every once in a while, you'll get a not like if the McDonald's was slammed, they didn't leave the hash browns in the fryer enough.
Not crispy.
And they're not crispy.
To be fair, I've had that experience. Still very edible.
Still, but, yeah. I mean, you're still eating it.
It's not like I, went back through the drive-thru and said, where's my crispy hash
brown? Right. Toast my hash brown.
A little disappointed. That's
an item I would tell you. I've made hash browns that are not edible. And I'm really awful at cooking hash browns. It's really one of the harder things for me to cook.
Yeah, when we do them,
did
do the
Did you get a Blackstone?
Way.
Yeah, I got a Blackstone.
Okay.
Blackstone makes it a lot easier.
Try it out there and, crank that bad boy up.
I've done it, but also, I'm always weary that the hash brown, the middle of it's not cooked enough.
Right.
And just the outside's crispy, whereas I've cooked them on, a regular frying pan, and half of it's burnt on the frying pan.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And now it's just not really a hash brown
anymore. Well, the thing about, it's too crispy.
When you
want it
crispy,
but not that crispy.
Right, yeah.
The Blackstone, you can keep it so that the layer is thin. Sometimes in a frying pan, it gets the layer gets thick.
I'm always jealous of the restaurants that give you the nice, perfect rectangle shape.
That's because they're doing it on the flat top. He's got that big, giant spatula, so he can...
He's so good at it.
Cut it off just like that.
I don't have that ability.
No,
I need to get you a big spatula.
And hash browns are one of my favorite foods out there.
Hash browns are pretty undefeated for breakfast.
They're amazing.
Like, in terms of things that you could have on a regular basis, never get tired of them.
I mean, every time I go to a breakfast restaurant, which is my favorite meal, I mean, it's... I go in with the idea that I'm going to do...
Hash browns are going to be a part of it.
But I will read hash brown and just be talked out of something I was going to get. Like, actually, I want hash browns.
Sometimes you even get it it's not on your breakfast and you're like, dude, throw me a side of hash browns.
Yeah, you got a side of hash browns or
not
something.
Not mad at a side of hash browns.
Nah. About one, you want to take a bite of it? We can share. Put it at the table, put it in the middle. You want to put your fork in here too?
Do you go ahead, butter buddy. Or oil?
I'd prefer butter, but oil probably makes it a little easier to cook.
Yeah.
Oil does get it crispier.
Yeah. I think oil is the right approach, but butter, I mean.
Who doesn't love it?
When is using butter a bad idea?
It's never a bad idea.
I bathe in butter.
Now, the trick is if you do if you do half and half olive oil and butter so the butter doesn't burn.
That's a good idea. That's what I worry about is the butter burning.
Yeah. Just put a little dollop of the olive oil in there.
Oh, I'm starving.
There you go.
This is not helping the cause.
No, it's not. No.
I'm about to eat in the next commercial break, too. I apologize.
I have to do stuff after the show. I have to do a Zoom meeting with Oregon State Alumni Association or something.
They're roping you in. They want a donation.
And I don't think
they're joining the lawsuit?
I think they're putting me in the...
Are you joining the lawsuit?
Me and Bjorn's dad?
Yeah.
You and Kyle are going after him?
No. And then
over my dead body!
Then I have to drive to my mom's in Camas and power wash a deck. Oh. I don't know when I'm going to eat.
Oh. You know what you should do? stop at Mickey D's on the way.
That'd be funny after the
drive through.
If I just ended up going there.
They serve breakfast until 11.
I'm gonna burn the calories.
Oh, anyway. I thought it was 10:30 on weekdays. It's 11 on the weekends.
You can get there by 10:30. Haul ass. You can get there.
I can. I have stuff to do after the show.
Do it on the phone. You'll be fine.
Well, it's a lot to get to. It's a busy little Friday for us. Boy, we showed up today, unlike the Atlanta Hawks.
What the hell was that? What was that?
I've seen some ass whoopings.
Like, that's...
That was different.
I've called some ass whoopings.
You're in them every year.
What was it, 65-17? Was it 65-7? What was the run, officially?
I think it was 65-7.
65-7.
Let's start. Let's get to some NBA playoff stuff. We have exit audio from the Blazers yesterday that we can talk about and react to. So we'll get to that coming up today. It's a Sprague and Line Friday if you want to send Sprague and Line stuff in. And maybe we read it and we still have to hit the dumb button. Who knows at this point? But you can chime in at 503-864-6326. Let's start with Atlanta. Like, that's your do or die game?
Good one, CJ.
Great. Hey, CJ McCollum, though. Let's bring him back. Great job. Great job, CJ.
We should have built around him years ago. Is that take still out there on the internet?
Oh, I don't think that exists anymore. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague at 105.1, the Fan. How did the Trailblazers play into the Denver Nugget Timberwolves series last night? I will tell you at the bottom of the hour.
Can we trade Chinese Jokic for real Jokic? Is he available?
Ooh, that'd be a good trade-off.
This Jokic's window is closed. You know what you need to do?
Yeah.
Open a new Jokic window.
A different variation of Jokic.
You want to sell some jerseys in China? Come on down. We'll take them off your hands.
I think that was what happened and what was wrong with the Incredible Hulk movies is they basically did that, and it did not fare well.
Didn't pan out very well.
I don't even know how to put into words what I watched yesterday in Atlanta.
I didn't know this was happening. We were running around. I was cooking dinner. I did not have the game on. It was a second half watch for me. At least that was the plan. And then I saw your guys' text, and I'm like,
"Well, that's all Atlanta was doing too in the second half."
And then I opened up my ESPN app, and I thought, "This has to be this. No. There's no way, right?"
So this game starts. It's game six. It's an elimination game for the Knicks.
Knicks up 3-2 in Atlanta, by the
way. Atlanta's like trying to hold serve, not be eliminated. Here we've had a pretty decent series. There was one bad game, but largely a pretty tight series.
First game up of the NBA slate this afternoon. So you're like,
I turn it on.
Here we go. Playoffs are on. Let's turn it on.
I turn this game on, and I'm like, oh, okay. We got a great start here.
It was 9-5. I think Atlanta
Hawks
had an early
went
lead.
On a 9-0 run.
Okay,
it was 9-5.
9-5.
It then became 12-11.
Back and forth, nip and tuck.
After that, I don't know how to describe to you what happened, other than to say it was like 65-14. It was insane.
In an NBA game.
In an NBA game.
In an elimination game on their home floor.
Oh, my God.
If you're an Atlanta Hawks fan who bought a ticket to that game, at what point do you leave?
It was 60-19 with 7 minutes to go in the first half.
And it was
a 12-11 game.
12-11 and then 60-19.
What's that run?
What are we doing here?
Unbelievable.
How is that possible? How does that happen in an NBA game?
I mean, look. I don't know, other than their spirit was broken because they went on a huge run and could not just stop.
Was it as simple when you were watching as like New York just can't miss a shot and Atlanta can't make a shot?
It was as simple as I'm watching it and I still can't describe it to you the next day, Dirt.
None of this makes
any
sense.
It wasn't like, it wasn't like they were shooting a million threes and just hitting them. And then it was just as simple as Atlanta couldn't do anything on offense.
Bucket, miss.
The
Bucket,
Knicks would
miss.
Come down,
Bucket,
throw a lob
miss.
To Mitchell Robinson, and one.
Back and forth. Oh.
Come down again. Score again. Like, every time they went down, they scored. And Atlanta just, it was almost like they just quiet quit.
Yeah, just like, all right, this thing's over. We might as well head to Cancun now. You guys got your bags packed? You ready to go on vacation?
It's unbelievable. They showed Stephon Marbury on the court. He was courtside, and he starts laughing at the Hawks.
My favorite thing of watching some of the stuff in the second half was they have a, I don't know if it's the group that actually came up, but I don't know who did the swag surf song, if that group is in Atlanta. I don't know what the backstory is, but I just know there was a performance at the end of the third quarter. And I don't know, I'm assuming they do this for most home games. It's like their third quarter thing. But they brought a rapper out onto
the
floor.
I think it was Bootsy.
Was that who? Do a swag surf. And people all made the same joke of like, when you're down by 53 points going into the fourth quarter, I don't know if now's the time to do a swag surf.
So really good find here by Roger Sherman. He used to work at The Ringer. He noted, it's accurate, He says the Knicks are leading the Hawks 60-19, and he posts a GIF video of the Monstars playing the Toon Squad, and legitimately it gets to 58, and then it goes to what you would say 60 is, and it says kind of one-sided, isn't it? And the Toon Squad has 18. So he goes, it's literally what the Monstars were leading against the Toon Squad, 60-19.
They just needed the secret stuff for the second half. Where was Michael Jordan and Bill Murray when you needed them?
Did we get a CJ cut, or was it only Jalen and Quinn Snyder's?
I did not find a CJ cut. I don't know if CJ took the podium.
That's okay. Here's Jalen Johnson. This is supposed to be their franchise player now. He had a great year.
Yes.
Just listen to Jalen Johnson tried to describe to you, Dirt, how this happened.
I don't really have any words for that. I don't really. It's obviously disappointing. Obviously, sucks. I think that's the biggest thing. And yeah, I mean, it was just a tough position to be in. And obviously, we dug ourselves a deep hole from the start.
72-22, 4 minutes left in the first half.
Jonathan Kuminga was a minus 40 in the game.
So minus 44.
Minus 44, yeah.
So I want to tell you guys an awful moment that happened to me. I just opened DraftKings.
Brendan Sorsby's online one.
Brendan, any advice? Yeah, Brandon, don't do what you're about to do.
I think we have some feedback here.
I opened the DraftKings app, and I was just curious. It says Hawks plus 45.5.
That's a lot of points.
I go,
by
the way,
points.
The highest it got was 51.5. What did the Knicks win by?
51, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So people were super pissed. I see that line and I go, the Knicks are not going to care.
They
this
have to
game
call
is,
off the Ducks.
It's over. Like, yeah. you're playing cats I can't name.
Yeah.
45.5. Yeah, they're going to win the game. It's going to be a 38-point win. You know me too. I'm small bet Brandon.
You are.
I'm a little fish.
Yeah, your medium pizza bet guy.
I've had a nice little run here. I've made some good money on my NBA gambling lately. I have no idea what possessed my brain to type $15
to plus 45,
which isn't even a big bet.
No.
But it's for me. It's like,
yeah, that's
that's three times bigger than I will bet.
Usually, yes.
And I took Hawks plus 45.5. I had this game on. My daughter walks in and goes, "Whoa, what? 136 points!
Why are you watching this?"
She goes, "Why are you still watching this?" I go, "I got the Hawks plus 45.5.
I need them to lose by 44.
She has no idea what that means. I'm having to explain to her now. Her dad's a degenerate.
You're
to
trying
a certain
to explain
extent.
To her what a paper route is.
Oh.
Remember that college degree you thought about, honey? Might have to go to a trade school.
Do you know what the Knicks did in the third quarter?
Engineers make a lot of money.
The Knicks, who are up by a million points,
yeah.
In the third quarter, this game is a wrap.
Yep.
I lay this bet, and I sit back on the couch, and I turn it back on to just watch the Hawks eat into the lead, right? Oh, no. The Knicks played their starters more than half of the third quarter. You know what they did?
Extended the lead.
Bury them.
It got to 101-58, and I went, oh, my God.
This bet's over.
I'm not going to cover this. They're not going to cover a 45.5-point line, and they didn't.
No. There's pressure on the reserves at that point.
To keep it going.
To make sure that the final score is as eye-popping as the game for those that actually stuck with it.
Right.
It's like an NFL game when somebody's just annihilating somebody. It's 35-zip, 42-zip. But if the defense has the shutout going and coaches start pulling the starters because you don't want to get anybody hurt, but there is pressure on the rookies and the reserves, especially if you're trying to preserve a shutout.
I like that you're really going with this take. Other than the Hawks just quit.
They did.
They quit.
Yeah, but what are you playing for at that point?
But
what are we saying about our team if we went out like that at home?
I just fire everybody, trade everybody,
right? Like,
blow
you're
it up.
Just yeah. saying, blow it all up.
Don't exist anymore. Move cities. Nobody cares about you in Atlanta. Like, get them out of there.
So you didn't watch. I kept it on for the obvious gambling purposes.
Sure.
There was a backdoor cover. They were up 51. I'm like, hey, a couple threes here, and we're covering this number. And then we're just not going to. Corey Kispert just didn't want to shoot the ball.
That's so embarrassing for an NBA elimination game, too. Like, all the everything on the line. Blowouts randomly in the playoffs are always going to happen, but when it's a win or go home game for you on your home floor.
The largest margin at half in a playoff game ever.
Yes. Well,
James Harden even said, whoa.
Yeah. It's not the largest margin of victory in a playoff game, but it's the largest margin at a half.
Yes.
So I had this game on until the horn sounded. And the last 4 seconds, the Knicks have the ball, and they're dribbling up the clock. I'm not exaggerating. You would have thought they were at Madison Square Garden. It was insanely loud.
A lot of bing bongs in the second half there.
I don't know what the crowd split actually was in Atlanta.
Well, there
at
were
Phillips
no
Arena.
Hawks fans left
no.
at the final buzzer.
No, but it had to have. That split of that crowd in Atlanta had to be 60-40. It had to be almost 50-50.
Yeah, look, I'm sure those tickets were decently expensive, probably not as bad as our like Game 3 and Game 4 tickets. And maybe Knicks fans drove them up a little bit. If I bought a ticket to that game, I'm leaving in the second quarter.
Oh.
Why am I staying? What am I sitting around for?
The only thing you're doing is you're in the idea of like you've already pre-planned that you're going to Uber home, so you have a couple cocktails and you just want to be the Cougar fan in the top dumping popcorn on your
sitting
face.
Sitting in the 300 level with
just
my feet up.
Basically going, I don't know what this has become, but I'm in. I'm here and I'm enjoying it.
What the hell happened to us? Now I'm buying three more cocktails. All of a sudden, it's got an expensive night.
I think I'm more fascinated by, can we lose a game by 80? Is this because you have to be
came
thinking
close.
That at the first half.
It felt like that might happen.
When you
look
see 72-22, it just looks AI'd.
Yeah. I mean, that's the equivalent of like a UConn women's basketball first round game against a 16 seed.
Exactly. Yes.
Those lines are like 49.5 for an opening tournament game.
I thought the Knicks were going to try to push it, see if they could get 100.5.
They came close.
They could.
What did they have it at? 80 something? 85?
I thought it was 83-37 was the halftime score.
83-37. Just insane, man.
Thanks for coming, Atlanta.
We still want to build around CJ, or?
I think we're going to move on from that one. I think we die.
Does
we're okay
any
there.
Player, I'm not kidding here. We'll get to some Jokic Nugget stuff. I don't know. He's not a superstar. I'd say he's bordered in his career on star-ish, CJ, because he's never made an all-star team.
All-star potential.
Okay, whatever you want to classify him. I don't know if a player gets more love when he has a great game and his team wins, and then nobody ever talks or cares when he loses.
No.
Than him. Oh, he lit it up at the Garden. Hey, CJ.
I'm no villain. He's talking trash to the crowd.
Down 55 in a closeout game. Here's Jalen Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh. We're just not going to talk about the other guy, huh?
Where you at on that one, CJ?
Crazy, man. All right. Timberwolves eliminate the Nuggets last night.
Oh, buddy. Oh, buddy.
Is that worse than?
Yes.
I mean.
I think it is.
The Knicks were a better team than the Hawks.
Yeah.
That game was atrocious.
The Hawks are also irrelevant.
It's a great question.
Nobody cares about the Hawks. Nobody thinks about the Hawks. I can't name you four players on the Hawks.
The T-Wolves had eight
the Hawks
dudes
the Hawks.
In uniform.
The Nuggets have what everybody loves to tell me is the best player in the league.
I mean, he's won three MVPs. The league has told you he's the best player in the league. They won a championship a couple of years ago.
A title. Get two. And I don't know if he will. But how does that game impact our Blazers? I actually have a tie-in on this, and we'll talk about the Nuggets being eliminated by the Timberwolves, who were shorthanded, next on The Fan. Poll questions up. Which loss is worse last night? Hawks losing by 51 or the Nugs to a shorthanded Minnesota team? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. Let's talk about that series. It's a wrap.
It's over.
Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, have a good offseason. Eliminated by the incredibly shorthanded Minnesota Timberwolves. We got the news yesterday before the game that Ayo Dosunmu wasn't going to play, and then you looked at the lineup and you said, so no Ann Edwards, no Ayo, no Dante.
Right.
We've got Randall McDaniels, Gobert, Conley, and Terrence Shannon Jr., as they call him on the streets, TJ. And then you mix in some Naz Reid, Jalen Clark, and a little Bones Highland for you.
They had nobody available. When I saw the news the Chicago Cat was going to be out, who had killed him the entire series.
You call him the Chicago Cat.
Dosunmu? How do you say his last name?
Dosunmu? Yeah.
Okay. I'll try and remember that one. He has been outstanding for them in the playoffs. They had, obviously, Ant's already out. DiVincenzo's out. That was cool to see the whole team show up in DiVincenzo jerseys. That was kind of a cool homage. Their teammate going down with the Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time in the history of the NBA playoffs. Three players have been out of a game who are averaging 10-plus points per game in the series, and they've won the game.
Yeah.
That's never happened in the history of the NBA playoffs. You took away, in the series, they were averaging respectively 21.8, 18.5, and 10.8. That's what they were missing from their lineup last night. Just to name a few, and Denver had the best player, according to some on the planet, and their second best player available, and they lost the game.
Jaden McDaniels was awesome in this thing.
He was, dude, to his credit, like, that guy ran his mouth.
He talked a lot of
He said, these guys suck on defense, we're hunting them, they can't guard us. He came out after they won, I want to say it was game two, because I'm pretty sure they lost game one and then won game two, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And he ran his mouth, and that dude backed it up. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, and he did it the rest of the series.
Yeah, Shannon Jr. came off the bench and started, gave him 24 points. And by the way, he's basically their Shaden Sharp this year, because Chris Finch was asked a couple games ago, hey, how come he's not getting any run? And Finch was like, he's not in the right spots. He's not.
Got to do the right thing in the playoffs.
And he's like, we're going to help him. We're trying to help him. And the best way to help him for us is we put him on the bench,
yep,
talk to him. Well, now they were kind of forced because they had no IO.
There's nobody left.
And so he goes out there and he balls out of his mind. Naz Reid gives you 15 off the bench. The NBA playoffs are great because you don't know what heroes are going to randomly emerge. Mm-hmm. It truly, to me, was a little shocking to see them win. By the way, what an atmosphere in Minnesota.
Yeah.
That is one of the best home environments in the league when
they
that
use
team's
that,
good.
That throwback court, too.
I love it.
It's just perfect.
I love it. They were howling at the tip. They didn't stop until that horn went off, and then they went crazy.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert, I thought, was really good in this series. I thought he was really disruptive against Jokic. And I don't believe... Yeah, I think I have this right. I don't think Nikola Jokic had a 30-point game in this series.
No, he could not shoot the ball very well. You could tell his legs were a little bit tired. The stat lines are always going to look good for him because of the player that he is. But he's one of those guys that he set the standard so high. Like, I don't think it's all Jokic's fault. I think it's ridiculous to do that in any scenario, blaming the one player who's available and playing every game. Jamal Murray had some absolute stinkers throughout the course of this series. Aaron Gordon went down, but that doesn't excuse the idea of them losing to Minnesota. Like, that was shocking to me, to be honest with you. Like, Atlanta, no showing. I don't really think about Atlanta. I don't care about Atlanta. Atlanta is irrelevant. Denver was going to lose in the second round no matter what because that team ain't beaten San Antonio. But the idea of everybody being out for Minnesota, there was a red carpet rolled out for you to win that series, and they still couldn't do it. And talk about an offseason with hard questions ahead. They're in one of those spots now. When you look at the assets they've given up, when you look at the collection of the talent that they have, they have a championship. So that'll be the ultimate, it's kind of a Milwaukee scenario. We can all make fun of Milwaukee for how bad their future looks. Well, at least they won a damn title. At least they got a title out of this. But that was a loss last night that genuinely felt like, dude, it might be closed. That window, I think, is completely shut for them.
So Murray was 4-17. Give McDaniels credit because he was awesome on offense and he was awesome on defense.
Yes,
he was disrupting Jamal Murray all night, who had 12. Here was Jokic in the post game on where he thinks the Nuggets are currently at.
There will be a lot of kind of bigger picture talk in the coming days. Where do you feel like this team is, in that bigger picture, and how far away or not far away do you feel like you guys are from being, a championship contender?
I mean, we just lost in the first round, so I think we are far away.
He also went on to say, if we did this in my home country, everybody's fired. And I'm like,
Yeah, everybody probably should be fired out of this one.
Here's the thing. It's not that you can't ever find trade partners. Their contracts are all very interesting. I don't know how easy all of this is going to be. And the architect of the Denver Nugget title went over to Minnesota.
Yes, he did.
And created the archetype of how to beat Denver. And now they've done it twice. To me, I looked at this through a Blazer lens because it's the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, we've gone a little back and forth on things. But when we go through the laundry list of teams, the Nuggets were 54 wins this year.
Yes, they were. They were the 3-4 seed, 3 seed.
And we won 42.
Yeah.
Right? So there's from a win-loss perspective, we're pretty far away.
It's a massive gap.
It is a massive gap. And also, in some ways, not as massive a gap. And what I mean by that is not that you will be better than Denver next year. It's that when I look at the Blazers and we talk about the Blazers, you and I want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a feel-good little play-in, playoff team that gets eliminated early and I'm rah-rah happy because my guys are good guys. I'm not one of those Portlanders. There's a lot of people out there in Portland like that. That ain't me. I want this team to be a legitimate contender that goes for the title.
Have an actual amount of hope in your heart that this could
pretend,
doesn't have to happen, but that, like, hey, I could see it. There's a scenario there.
And last night showed me that although Denver, from a win-loss perspective, is much better than you and they have a better player than you do, if their roster cannot be changed drastically, I just look at that from a Blazer fan perspective and think, suddenly not such a juggernaut. And I'm not saying that they're not, again, going to beat you in the regular season or have 10 more wins than you.
Right.
It's that you have to look at the West, I think, through the playoff prism. Right? Gordon was out. Well, he was out most of the year. Murray was terrible. Christian Brown just got a contract extension.
Yeah, I don't feel great
about
that
right
now.
They just made a trade for Cam Johnson, who finally had a good game. This isn't some easy turnover roster-wise. And so when we look at the West, we see Oklahoma City, we see San Antonio, and we kind of have everybody else, right? Like, isn't everybody else a little lumped with you? Now, maybe Minnesota gets Ant back and they contend against San Antonio a lot harder than we think. But I look at this from a playoff standpoint in the West of it's going to be a juggernaut in the regular season, but what do they look like in the West playoffs? Denver losing to that Minnesota group?
Yeah.
That's alarming.
Yeah.
Houston, they're probably going to – they might lose KD this offseason. Then what are they going to do? The Lakers are the wild card here because they're going to get Luka back next year, and they might not have LeBron, so they'll have a max slot, and they may figure that out. But right now you look at the West, and it's – I see San Antonio. They just beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Oklahoma City. Everybody else doesn't feel like we're going to beat them next year. It's more of a the idea is not so insane when that Denver team loses to that Minnesota team.
They're not overwhelmingly like, oh, my God, how do we contend with
that? Like, it's an impossibility. Like, that's all I'm saying.
I mean,
if they can build and make the right trades this offseason.
It's just like for Denver, too, a year ago, you can excuse a second-round series loss to the eventual NBA champion that goes seven games. Like,
absolutely.
That just was seeding. You had to play him in the second round, and you pushed him all the way to the brink to the point where it's like, oh, my God, is Denver going to pull off this upset? And they couldn't get it done ultimately in Game 7. That is a stark difference to what we saw this year. And I think it now begs the question for them. In terms of like interesting offseason teams, Denver is near the top of my list. Do they just roll it back with a new head coach because they don't have a ton of options? Do they try and bank on health? Do they?
Jokic defended Adelman. He said this isn't on him.
He said it's not on him. Do you trade one of your Gordon or Murray? Like, do you get rid of one of your big pieces? Do you pull a Milwaukee? They did that kind of with the Jrue Holiday thing.
I wonder if they do the Murray one.
You know, what's the aggressive move? Or do they just try and bank on, hey, we'll try and bring it back next year. Maybe we'll be better. It's a fascinating offseason ahead of them because they don't have the assets or the capital to go make the move to get the one more guy to put him back over the top.
Sounds crazy. I understand. In a weird way, I was like, this makes me feel great. They have the best player, but if they can't move certain parts...
Oh, I mean, I agree with the ultimate point.
I don't think that team's going to... Why is that team going to be so much better next year?
Yeah, the tough part is you still have the two juggernauts that aren't going anywhere.
Well...
So the third best team in the Western Conference has now slipped. So
hey, we might be getting closer
to the top tier of the mountain might be easier, but topping the mountain is still incredibly difficult.
A great story last night watching Jaden McDaniels and the T-Wolves knock off the Denver Nuggets. They had a little melee in that one, too.
We did. That's one of the best, if not the best, rivalry in the NBA.
Yeah,
maybe
they really
the only legitimate rivalry where they hate each other's guts.
Yeah, no doubt.
A lot of fun to watch, though.
We'll get to the Blazer exit audio from yesterday. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour, but it is 6:46, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more on a fantastic Friday edition on 105.1 The Fan. You know, you're so right that credit to Jaden McDaniels for saying, quote, go at Jokic, Jamal, all the bad defenders, Tim Hardaway, Cam Johnson, Aaron Gordon, their whole team, and then backing it up.
They were just taking turns going at Murray last night. It felt like, who's Murray guarding? Go at him.
How about a shout-out to his teammate who got hurt in the beginning of the series, Ann Edwards. Remember like 2 years ago? I think it was the Phoenix series where they ended up sweeping Kevin Durant and the Suns. And they were asking Anthony Edwards, How do you go against Devin Booker? He's like, we got Jaden McDaniels. What about Kevin Durant? We got Jaden McDaniels.
Jaden McDaniels is our guy.
And people were like, why? Dude, he really loves Jaden McDaniels.
He's not better than Kevin Durant. What are we talking about here?
We discovered in that series, coincidentally in run, that Jaden McDaniels is a pretty good player. Like, that's a step yesterday. And you wonder, like, oh, my God, did Minnesota stumble in to a guy that maybe with this kind of stuff? And that's what I think the playoff breeds is just the confidence that players can build, that it's like, dude, I dominated. Why am I not one of the best? And then they take that approach into the offseason. It's a good story, I think, for the Minnesota organization and Chris Finch, too, by the way.
Oh, it's a huge win for them, man.
3 years ago. Like, dude, that's the story in sports sometimes, is development.
Yes.
And how important and crucial it can be to build guys up, help them see where their faults and their weaknesses are, and then watch players like that develop into this caliber of player.
Right.
I also can't help but have the thought of this is, I understand all the narratives about the regular season in the NBA. This is why the NBA is the, you should watch it and use it like baseball. You don't want to pay attention to the regular season. I totally get that. The NBA playoffs are fantastic. I had a buddy text me yesterday, dude, how about this Wolves game? I've been watching the league much. I've not liked it, but this season feels different. I'm like, dude, it's been this way for 6 years.
Yeah.
There's no clear, there might be with Oklahoma City, but year in and year out, you just don't know what stars are going to fall early or what stars and their teams are going to continue to push the rest of the league. Look no further than Nikola Jokic, who we all agree is in the conversation as the best player in the league.
Without a doubt.
But, man, best players in the league losing that series, that's not a good look usually in the league history of best players losing in the first round. But that also speaks to the depth of the league, I think, with the talent and how truly hard it is to win now.
I think there's two examples of this in the NBA right now. And I don't know where it's going to go for Denver. Maybe they figure it out and come up with some solution this offseason that gets them back into contention. But we had a title out of Milwaukee with a player who some believed is the best player in the NBA, was an MVP, found a way to win that championship over Phoenix, down 2-0. They won 4 in a row. He seemed unstoppable and dominant in those finals. That closeout game that Giannis had in that series is one of the most impressive NBA games that I've ever seen from a star, considering the stakes. And we thought to ourselves, oh my God, here comes Milwaukee with Giannis. Like, who's going to stop this freak over the next 5 to 6 years? And we said very similar things about Denver. When Jokic finally broke through and won, they did beat that Miami team in the finals, but still, it was like you're watching a big guy do stuff that we've never really seen a big guy do. And who is ever going to come up with a way to stop this? Mm-hmm. And this is the unique nature of the one area that Adam Silver, I think, has won, is made it a little bit tougher to bring different guys in, made the luxury tax bill, all the, you know, the little tweaks behind the scenes that he's made.
Roster building is very hard.
And it has become like you are constantly if you're in that spot, leery of what landmine am I going to step on that's going to derail this entire thing.
Agreed.
And you could go through with Denver and pick anything you want. You mentioned the Bron contract with 5-year, $125 million he got paid.
Something like that,
yeah. Dude, that hasn't even started yet. That deal didn't even kick in until next year.
He's not very good.
They tried the Michael Porter. Let's go get Cam Johnson. Michael Porter Jr.
I praised him for that move.
On paper, it seemed like a great deal. He sucked all year.
Porter actually had a good year when he played.
He did. He had no pressure. There were no expectations. Yeah. Go out and hoop. And he did it. And there was nobody else to take shots because they were a tanking team. So he ended up having a good year,
right.
But you couldn't quite replace it. And so the same thing goes with Milwaukee of Drew won it, and the next year we got banged up, and then it was the Dame trade for them. That was like, all right, we got to keep being aggressive. You step on a landmine,
yep.
And all of a sudden your future is very murky and in doubt. And so that's kind of the beauty of the NBA. We'll wait and see, and you bring this up all the time with OKC and San Antonio. In the current state, we're saying, oh my God, how is anybody going to beat this?
Right.
But the reality of the NBA has shown us over the last handful of years is, dude, you're one or two decisions away from going from who's going to beat that team to, dude, what the hell happened to them, and how are they not competing for titles anymore?
And how the hell do you get better? I think that's the big question have here locally, and I couldn't help but have that thought. Yesterday, we had exit interview audio. Let's hear from Joe Cronin. Tiago Splitter, a lot to unpack. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on a fantastic Friday on 105.1 The Fan.